The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace.
Loving me,
shadows of earth must flee.
I'm very thankful that we have the opportunity of broadcasting over a number of stations on Sunday and several during the week, and also having the program on several websites. I've heard from a number of people who've told me that the program has been a special blessing during these times because some are involved where churches have not been able to meet regularly. So we're grateful that God is using the proclamation of the truths of His Word to be a blessing during these difficult days. If you can help us with the support of the program, we'll certainly be grateful for it. This is a 5-Sunday month, and so the need is particularly great. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Or you can go to our website at baptistbiblehour.org and make a donation there. We continue now with the second part of the message, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. What better place could we occupy during these difficult days than to be at Jesus' feet? We think of that occasion when Jesus brought peace in the midst of a storm. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 37, it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." It's a dreadful thing to be on a ship in the time of storm. Wind is blowing, the waves are lashing against the ship, and it's being tossed about. But when the water begins to come overboard and it's full, the ship is now full of water, you say, we're in dire circumstances. Surely we will soon be destroyed. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And you may have said that in the midst of some of your troubles. "Lord, you promise not to leave me, but I'm not able to sense your presence. Do you not care? Do you not care?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And then in verse 41, they said to one another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" How marvelous it must have been to witness that. Now, the fact is, even with Jesus asleep, they were in no danger. With Jesus on board the ship, it was not going to sink. And the fact is this, Jesus could have blessed them to ride out the storm. It was his pleasure here to bring the storm to an end. But the lesson we need to learn is this. Yes, he is able. He's able to speak his word, and in an instant there can be a great calm. When there has been turmoil, when there has been trouble, when there have been problems, he can bring them to a quick conclusion. But the fact is also, if you continue on board the ship to be tossed about and you're in the storm with Jesus on board, it's all right. He's going to see you through. Jesus gives us peace today in the storms that we encounter. Furthermore, at Jesus' feet, we learn to obey. John 14, the 15th verse, Jesus says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. She no doubt wanted to learn. It says she was attentive to his word, but it wasn't just that she might gain knowledge in her mind. She wanted it to be the guide for her life. As we read the word, are we looking to it as that which will dictate our course of action, reveal to us how we should think, what our attitude should be, what our activities will involve? If you love me, keep my commandments. You can sing all kinds of beautiful songs about loving Jesus. You can tell others, "I love Jesus." You can even go to the Lord himself and say, "I love you." But if you don't keep his commandments, it's vain. Luke 6:46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" To say he's your Lord, he's your Savior, and you love him, but you just do not the things that he says. You may at times vow to do it, but you soon are off course. You may sometimes say, "This is too difficult. I can't follow that." Or be brazen as some today when they find in Scripture something they don't like to say, "Well, that was for another time. It doesn't even apply." Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Obedience to Jesus is not loyalty to a denominational name. It's not love for a tradition. It's submitting to the teacher, sitting at his feet, hearing his word, and obeying it. Whatever Jesus says, whatever doctrine he teaches, that's what I'm going to embrace. Wherever he says to wait, I want to wait. Wherever he says to go, I want to go. He's the teacher. He's in charge. I want to sit and learn at Jesus' feet. And furthermore, at the feet of Jesus, you become like him. Luke 6:40, "The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master." The disciple is the student. The master is the teacher. Jesus is the teacher, and you're the student. Everyone that is perfect, everyone that is complete, everyone that learns the lesson as they ought to learn it shall be like the teacher. So it's not just a matter, "I did my homework, I've got it down on paper, I've made some notes, I know what I ought to do, I know what I ought to believe." It's not just having some head knowledge about certain doctrines and creeds. It means if you are truly being taught, you become like the teacher, like the master. In the book of Acts chapter 4, we find a beautiful example of some who were pointed out as being like Jesus. Peter and John had gone up to the temple, and there was a lame man there begging alms. He expected, as people came by, that they would assist him. And he'd been there for many years, and all he'd ever received, of course, was alms to keep him going, but he could not walk. He was lame. But Peter comes along and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." And this man got up and walked and was running up and down the street, leaping and shouting and praising God. Now, those who opposed this great miracle and the proclamation of the gospel and the labor of these Christians would like to have denied that it happened. Might have said, "Oh, that's just a rumor. It didn't happen." But here he comes down the street praising God, leaping and shouting. You can't squelch that. Here's a living testimony. So in chapter 4, verse 9 of the book of Acts, it says, "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead." Notice that. Peter wasn't holding anything back. Say, why'd they have to bring that up? He's going to offend these people. No, he's making it clear. They've committed a great crime and they need to repent. This Jesus of Nazareth, the one that you crucified, but he is now raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. It is because of what Jesus Christ, the crucified but the resurrected Savior, has done. It's because of him that this man is now blessed and able to walk. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." You get what he's saying? You rejected this stone. You Jews who did not receive him and acknowledge him as the Messiah, you rejected him, but he's made the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name
under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's the gospel message. There's no other salvation. There's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. There's not anybody going to heaven that doesn't believe in Jesus. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. No other name but Jesus. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, they weren't in fact ignorant men. They were men of deep spiritual insight. This simply meant they hadn't been educated in their schools. They weren't approved by the leaders. And so in their book, they're ignorant and unlearned men, but they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What a testimony. I had to say there is something special about them. They could talk all day long about them being ignorant and unlearned, but they said they had been with Jesus. If a person should observe your daily life, would they conclude you have been with Jesus? Would they say, I truly believe that person has been sitting at the feet of Jesus? If they listen to your conversations, the words you use, the tone of your voice, the attitude when you speak to other people, would they say, you have been with Jesus? Would they see compassion in your life? Do you have a harsh, critical attitude? Do you look down on those that are fallen, the downtrodden, like the priest and the Levite that passed quickly by? Or do you have the spirit of the Samaritan who says, I want to help. I want to minister to this person that's down and out. Would they see love for others like the love that Jesus has for you? And then we consider the tremendous importance of this experience that Mary had, an experience that all of us can have if we will sit at Jesus' feet. Martha was disturbed. She's in the kitchen. She's working hard. She wants to prepare an impressive meal for Jesus. She takes it about as long as she can. She says, my sister has left me in here to do all the work, and asked Jesus to send her back. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled and careful about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. Now, a lot of times when people quote this, they say, Mary hath chosen the better part. That's not what the text says. Jesus said, she hath chosen the good part. The good part is to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his words. Yes, there is work to be done. Certainly the scripture does not condone laziness. We're not suggesting that. But everything has to start with sitting at Jesus' feet. So easy to become full of care like Martha was. To be troubled about many things. Wake up in the middle of the night and you begin to roll over in your mind all the things you're troubled about. You get up in the morning, the first thing you think about is all the things you're troubled about. Oh, how we need to stop. Sit down at Jesus' feet. Open his word. Pray that he will speak to us. That he will instruct us. That he will humble us. That he will teach us love. That he will teach us to have compassion, that we'll be more like the Master. The Apostle said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's the one thing I'm going to do? I'm going to press toward the mark. I'm not going to let the things that are past hinder me. Oh, that's such a struggle for many people. They're always looking back. They think about the mistakes they've made, the failures along the way. They struggle over it. You can't change that. Worrying about the past doesn't fix it. Worry doesn't fix anything, as a matter of fact. Worry is sin. Worry means you're not trusting. But the apostle said, I'm going to forget those things that are behind. Can't change them anyway. I'm going to be moving forward. I'm going to be pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This one thing I will do. And that's what Jesus had said to Martha. Martha was willing to set her house in order for the Lord. Mary was willing to set it aside. There may be a lot of things you say, I'm willing to do. There's activities in which you want to be involved, but you could be so busy even with activities that in and of themselves are good, you have neglected the greatest thing. You have failed to sit at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, that part shall not be taken away. When you read the word, you receive it, you have a treasure which is not going to be taken away. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The language literally means, let the word of Christ be at home in you. You're going to be so full of scripture that you're going to think biblically. A crisis arises, and instead of giving way to the weakness of the flesh, you're going to think about what you've read. You're going to think about the word of Jesus. You've got it treasured in your heart. It's at home in you. You're comfortable with it. It's not like when the trial comes and the difficulty presents itself that you've got to explore totally new territory as though you're lost in the woods and don't know what to do. No, you have the word of God hidden in your heart. The attractions of the world, the pleasures that the world offers are soon gone. But sitting at Jesus' feet brings blessings and joys that cannot be taken away. And let me say to you who have never come to sit at Jesus' feet, I pray you'll come today. You say, but I'm a sinner. But that's the kind of people Jesus came to save. Repeatedly throughout the gospel record, we see him speaking words of forgiveness to those that knew they were sinners. You come to Jesus as a sinner, and he'll not cast you out. You say, but I don't have the experience, the kind of experience that I've heard other people talk about. Not everybody is going to have the kind of experience that Saul of Tarsus had when he heard the voice of Jesus and he was struck down on the road to Damascus. But maybe your experience is like that of Lydia. The Lord opened her heart so that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. Has the Lord made your heart tender? Has he opened your heart, though you know, yes, I'm a sinner, I deserve nothing. I know I need mercy, I know I need grace, but the sweet tones of the gospel are a blessing and a comfort to you. Your heart has been opened. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is a blessed place to be. Can you say that's where you are today? I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. A hymn writer expresses it like this. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, watching, waiting every day, trusting in his grace and power, safe to keep me all the way. Listening at the feet of Jesus, his command to go or stay, trusting always in his wisdom, safe to guide me when I obey. Seeking still at the feet of Jesus, I would seek no other place, for 'tis there I claim the promise of the fullness of his grace. When the toils of life are over, when my race on earth is run, may the evening shadows gathering find me there when day is done. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where I love to kneel and pray, till his goodness and his glory drive the shadows from my way. Sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me, my Savior makes me whole.
If indeed I'm talking to someone today who has been convicted of sin, maybe for the first time in your life you've come to realize, I need salvation. Things are not right between me and God. The good news of the gospel is that there is hope for sinners. That's the kind of people Jesus came to save. And he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He is indeed the Savior of sinners as a result of his sacrificial death at the cross. I hope that you will write us, and until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.
So